thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's April 2020, and you're listening to episode 174, which is an episode in our coronavirus quarantine series. On this Podblast episode, I'm joined by Jay Watts, who is founder and president of Merely Human Ministries, Inc., an organization committed to equipping Christians and people who hold pro-life views to graciously defend the intrinsic dignity of all human life in a positive and gospel-focused manner. Jay is also a regular contributor and a regular guest on this podcast. So, Jay, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here, Melanie. Thank you.
Well, we're just still in the midst of the shelter in place for most of the country. Hopefully some of that will ease up in the months ahead. But while we're here, it's kind of been stretching on for the last month or more. And so, you know, for your family and for you in particular, what has been both the easiest and the hardest adjustment for you to quarantine?
I think the easiest adjustment for us was school, because we're a homeschool family. And also, That adjustment, not just being homeschool, I think doesn't just feed into the adjustment to how you're going to handle academics. It was also, I noticed with many of my friends, an adjustment when your schedules take everyone in the family in different directions, and then suddenly everyone in the family is in the house together with nowhere to go. For a lot of my friends, there was an adjustment period there. There was an adjustment period with couples who both worked and who were now together, and for kids who were used to being at their school and that were now spending all day with their parents. And our family just didn't have to go through that. We're always right on top of each other. We have a very small, little modest house here in a very, you know, rich area. So it was, for us, it's like being on top of each other, being around each other all the time, doing school at home, all of that just came very easy to us.
And so has there been anything that's been hard for you to adjust to being sheltered in place?
Yeah, actually, I would say, oddly enough, the hardest thing, if I talk to my kids, because I check in with our family every day, we all sit down and talk about, is there anything bothering you today? Consistently, the hardest thing for our family as a very active, athletic family is the restriction on how we can express that. You know, for my 15-year-old daughter, she misses the gym. She misses her treadmill and the weights and the ability to go up there and get lost and exercise for a little while to deal with the stress of the day. For my son and I, we miss the field. We miss going out into the park where we have a field where we can play lacrosse and just run and burn a lot of excess energy off. So we've had to work hard to create a way at home to do the kind of things we were used to doing elsewhere. And that, I would say, consistently when I ask people what they miss, it's being able to go out together as a family and sort of express our athleticism in certain places.
Is there something small that you lament? I mean, it could be anything. I think sometimes we think in terms of big, huge things we thought we had freedoms to do before that we're not doing at this point in time when we're all at home. But sometimes we want to just say, hey, I remember doing this and I miss doing that. Is there something small that you lament?
Yeah, I miss eating out at restaurants. It seems, you know, we still order. We do our best. We have been blessed to have the ability to help local businesses as much as we can. So we do our best to go out and give business to them to help them get through this time. But even as an introvert, I always tell people being introvert is not being antisocial, right? It just means that I don't enjoy massive crowds as far as socializing the way other people do. But I have found that I miss sitting in crowded rooms. And even though all we were doing was sitting at a table talking to each other and spending time with the family or friends joined us, there's something about being out where you have no responsibility to prepare or clean up. And all you can do is just spend time concentrating on each other. And also, it's just the bustle of people around you. So I was surprised because it is a small thing compared to what other people are dealing with out there. But it is something that I miss deeply. Yeah.
I know. I've thought about things that maybe used to be more drudgery, like running errands, but just the idea of, yeah, just to go out and do something that I need, it takes more preparation. I have to think of everything that I need and get on a mask and all those kinds of things and wait in line and all these things that I didn't do before. So those are some little things that we do miss.
And being surrounded by people that you don't, without any worry, right? I mean, there was people all around you. I could be in crowded places and I didn't think about their health in the sense of, is it going to impact me or anyway? That part of it too, I think, is something I worry about how long it's going to take for us to get back there.
I think something too that's unique for Christians is that when we go to worship in church, we sing together.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other places or cultures or even places in the United States where people are corporately singing together regularly, weekly. And I think that's something that even when we get back to church, whenever that is, where we have might have to be, you know, 6 feet apart or something, it's not the same as sitting in a crowded pew.
Yeah.
Singing at the top of your lungs next to maybe a stranger you don't know or a visitor or something.
And the freedom I think you feel there. I've noticed with our family, you know, when we watch worship stuff online and we contribute with our church in that way. But you're right. There's no the abandonment of public worship, right? That ability to just not worry because no one's looking at you and nobody can hear you. It's not the same when you're in your den with your four other family members and everybody's sort of painfully aware if you're off key.
Well, I asked you on this special edition of what I'm calling the Quarantine Coronavirus series is to offer a word of encouragement and hope to our listeners, to our Postmodern Realities podcast listeners. So what could you offer them as a way of things that are bringing you hope or things that you want to tell them to bring them hope?
You know, long before I was vocationally in any kind of ministry work, when I was just a wreck of a human being who went from atheism to Christianity in my early 20s and just had lived a crazy, weird life and had no background to prepare myself for the Christian walk. So when I first became a Christian, there was a time where I had to figure out how am I going to manage this life because it wasn't something I was used to. And very early on, I developed a discipline. When things are going wrong, I go back to the beginning. You know, I think of it like your computer or your phone when we reboot, right? Or we simplify it. Or sometimes I've heard when people talk about coding or things like that, we talk about going back to mama. We go back to the thing that works, that I know works. And so when this whole thing started, there was a sense for me and my family where we sat down and said, all right, there are things that have changed, a lot of things that have changed, but the basics of being a Christian have not. We were given two great commandments, right? Love the Lord our God with everything that we have in us, our mind, our body, our soul. And the other one was to love our neighbors ourselves. And so let's take a moment every day to make sure that we're doing those two things. And loving my neighbor as myself is obviously a huge part of why I do the ministry that I do, where we argue for the equal dignity of all human beings. But in the age of Corona, it has become a way to stay somewhat in line, I think, hopefully with what God wants me to do. And there's so many different ways to think about that. I mean, for one of them is, you said, as Christians, as a Christian community, I can't operate in fear of my brothers and sisters out there because I'm required through the commandments of God to love them as myself. And so as I process shelter at home, as I process social distancing, I've had to keep in mind and talk to a lot of people about this, about the idea that we do this because we gather at this moment, this is the best way that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. Not because we're afraid. We can't be motivated by fear. We have to be motivated by that idea that we're loving our neighbors through this. At the same time, we have to look for ways to both continuously engage community and hopefully to look to that day when we can actively work, and we should be always be actively working as hard as we can as a community to get back to full fellowship. And so every single day, we're trying to find ways in the Watts household to love our neighbors as ourselves. And looking through scripture, it's such a rich background line throughout all of it, going back to the Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus 19, Matthew 19, and the New Testament, Matthew 22, Mark 12, Luke 10, Romans 13, Galatians 5, James 2. Over and over again, we're told, love your neighbor as yourself. On multiple times when it says that, it tells you that this is the fulfillment of all the laws, or most laws can be understood through this. And then when you get to James 2, it even says that if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture to love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. And so I think there's a comfort there in trying to find creative ways to love our neighbors. And it's meant multiple different things in our household. Some of the encouraging chalking we did at the end of our driveway, it was funny, we did it and we wrote pictures, sometimes a little cross, and some of the stuff we've put up online. And then our neighbors did it. And then another neighbor, instead of doing chalk, because that just wasn't their thing, the next day we noticed that they had hung up something in their door for people to be able to see. And we walk around our neighborhood every day and look to see how people are saying, hey, keeping distance, but talking to each other about how everybody's handling their time. My children, know that they need to call their grandparents or their aunts or their great aunts every day to check in with them. One of them calls one, one of them calls the other, but it's a discipline every day to remember we have to maintain these connections. My son has managed to pivot his Bible studies to online and to open up ways of communicating with his friends to help them. At the end of the day, they all gather together and do something together, different kinds of games, different types of experiences. My daughter has opened up a letter writing ministry, basically, where she puts out there, send me your address and I will send you an encouraging letter. So for us, the command to love your neighbor as yourself, I think, has become the central theme of the Watts household as much as we can, even to the extent of how we process bigger questions. I have taken that into a new podcast series with Merely Human Ministries called Human Things that was taken off of when C.S. Lewis said, if death is going to find us, when he was talking about the nuclear age and the new existential threat to life through that, he said, if death's going to find us, let it find us doing human things. And so even to handle bigger questions, as I wrestle with those as the head of a ministry and an organization, we've moved to a new podcast where instead of arguing, we just ask the questions, what does it mean to do human things in the age of coronavirus? So in big and small ways, we have really tried to live out that commandment, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to recognize that though the world has changed, in fact, in the way the proximity we have to many of our neighbors, the way we're allowed or suggested that we have relationship with them, the command to love them as ourselves has not. And so if I'm looking to find some way, I go back to that basic command and then work out from there with confidence, because God has said repeatedly through Scripture that if I can successfully find ways to love my neighbor, then I'm on the right track with him, right? I mean, I think that's a big question. Right now, in this more restricted sense of how I deal with my community, how can I make sure that I'm redeeming the time that God has given me for him and for the kingdom? And with a limited imagination about how I can do that, given the resources that I have, one way that I know that I can do that is to continuously find creative ways to express my love for my neighbor, both my neighbors, my literal neighbors in my neighborhood, my family, the people in this house with me, my extended family, the people that I can Zoom or call or chat with, the businesses in this area that I can reach out to and give them businesses, but just to make it a daily reminder, what have I done to love my neighbor today? Because I love that part in James 2 when it's talking about favoritism and not looking at people differently and not categorizing people differently, whether they're rich or poor. Ultimately, he says, if you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. So for me, that's an encouragement, right? It gives us a chance to, for lack of a better terminology, reboot our understanding of how we're going to love our neighbor, to plumb new lines out there, right? New ways to do this, set new standards for how we're going to interact with our community. And it's been important for me since I have not been placed in a position where I have to make deeply important decisions that affect the whole country or the whole world, to then try to make those encouraging and positive things from my side, to recognize that there are a lot of people asking important questions, and that to constantly visit those questions can be a source of stress for people. And so I am directing our efforts right now to be somebody and to be a voice and to be a body in this household that does things in a way to encourage everybody to say, you know, as I told my son one day and my daughter when they were having trouble at different times, every single emotional response you could have to this is justified. Like if you have moments of anger, if you have moments of sadness, if you're deeply mourning the loss of something, if you're stressed or you have anxiousness, every one of those for a moment that comes upon you as a human being, you're justified. But what that can't be is the lens through which you understand this whole event. We always have to go back to giving it back over to God. And for me, functionally, because I argue all the time that human beings have value and that there's a dignity to human beings. And that's a great way to argue for the life of those around us, but sooner or later, we also have to answer the question, how do we live out that dignity? And Dallas Willard talked about that a little bit in The Divine Conspiracy at the beginning, where he says, you know, there's one thing to know what good is. It's another thing to ask the question, how do we be good? And so searching that out at this moment, right? Answering that question, the Mr. Rogers question, how do we make goodness attractive? How do we be good in a time like this? And for me, it goes back to that one simple idea, love my neighbor as myself, love my neighbor as myself, love my neighbor as myself.
You know, that's a really good word, because I think a lot of people feel inconvenienced, for example, by social distancing. But if you think, if I'm really caring about other people, then I will do those things that I need to do because I care about them less than how am I protected, right? So yeah. I think that's a really good word for us, because I think a lot of times we can feel inconvenienced by what's happening to us. But if we look through that lens, I think that's a way that we can be encouraged. Well, finally, I want to ask you some fun rapid fire questions that's related to the quarantine that we're experiencing. And the first one is, what's going on with your family? Are you guys eating more healthy, so healthy food, or are you guys turning to comfort food during the quarantine?
A bit of both, right? I mean, we're doing our best to exercise a lot. I would say that we're eating less comfort food. How about that? We're still eating comfort food, but we're trying to watch our portion size and to make sure that we're exercising enough to balance. So we're doing our best to get the vitamins and minerals. But sometimes, you know, when everybody is just feeling quarantined, we just go to the local pizza guy and pick up a couple of pizzas. So.
Oh, wow. You're still going out there to get pizza. I don't know when the last time I had pizza. And the other question is, of course, we've run out of some crucial supplies during this time. One of those is toilet paper. And so in your household, are you guys people who put toilet paper on over or under?
It's got to be over, right? You know, the way I do everything in this world is just I go ridiculously obsessive. And when I was younger, I remember hearing this question asked. And so I looked up what the standards were for hotels around the world. And like all the finest hotels said over. And for me, that was like, okay, well, if they say it's over, it's over. And then from then on out, it's always been over for me, to the point that I feel weird if I see it under personally. So.
Well, it's interesting. When I am at work and go into the office restroom, if someone has put it on under, I actually change it to over.
I will too.
I feel like it needs to be over. But, you know, there are some people who also swear by under, although they are in a minority. Well, thank you, Jay, for being a guest on this special series for the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you so much for allowing me to participate.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Jay Watts, and he's been a guest on a special Podblast episode in our coronavirus quarantine series. We'd like to invite you to subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you for your support of this content.